Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Välkomna till Celestial Podcast. Jag heter Stella Fadell och det är jag som driver den här podden. Här utforskar jag allt inom spiritualitet, okulta ämnen och andra magiska ting. Enjoy my loves!
Hello, all you magical beings, and welcome back to Celestial Podcast. I hope that you all are doing so well today. And I'm actually switching things up here because I felt that it was a long time ago I did an episode in English. And I feel like I need to practice it a little bit, even though it's my mother tongue. I've been speaking Swedish every single day now. So I feel like I really need to tap into my English as well. So I have this amazing guest today. It's my absolute pleasure, and I'm using that word very consciously today to invite on my beautiful guest Charlotta Barman. Welcome. I'm so happy to have you here today.
Thank you so much, Stella. It's my absolute pleasure to be here, and I'm so excited to talk about all the things of sensuality and pleasure that we're going to be getting into today.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I've been wanting to talk about this for the longest time. And I think I actually mentioned this to you very briefly, but I sent out an intention to the universe not too long ago to help me cross paths with someone who I could speak to about sensuality, sexuality, feminine energies, all these juicy topics. And I mean, tapping into my sensual and sexual energies more freely have become so important to me, especially I think these last 6 months, while I was healing from something very heartbreaking that really flushed my confidence and my self-worth down the drain. So harnessing these energies have made me really a whole new empowered version of myself. And I can honestly say that being aligned with my sensual, sexual being has proven itself to be when I feel most authentic to myself, most empowered, and most alive. So yeah, it feels completely aligned to be speaking with you today.
And thank you for sharing that as well.
Yeah, and we're gonna actually focus on that quite a lot today, like how we can actually tap in and harness the sexual, sensual energies in healing, because at the end of the day, I have come to realize that these energies are life force energies. They're very healing, and we have so much wisdom stored in our bodies that we can access through connecting to our bodies in a whole different way. And I mean, if we just truly allow ourselves to indulge in these pleasures, because I mean, indulging in pleasures is kind of, it's not something that everybody does, and it's a little bit like there's a stigma or taboo, especially around, you know, females and women tapping into their sexuality. And I mean, just now, these past 6 months, I've just truly allowed myself to follow my intuition in my healing, and it has led me into tapping so much into these energies. But Charlotta, you radiate these amazing goddess vibes, and I was just mesmerized by your energy when I found your account, because we haven't been acquainted for that long at all. So I don't really know that much about you, except that you work as a sensuality empowerment coach, and that is so interesting to me. So should we just start off there? Like, maybe you could walk us through your journey that led you to becoming a sensuality empowerment coach.
Yes, that's a really great place to start. Thank you so much for asking that question. So my story is that since I was a young girl, I recognized that I'm a very sensory person, meaning that anything that I can see or smell or touch or experience or feel or, you know, taste, all of these experiences, really, they lit me up and they made me feel so alive. I was too young to fully understand what that meant. But growing up as well, it just was like, I'm always that friend that's like, oh my God, look at that cloud. It's so amazing. And look at that flower. Isn't it incredible? The colors. And like, really just like noticing all these things. Yeah. And everyone around me, I kind of felt like, yeah, it's nice. But, you know, like not really paying attention, and people just get on with their things. And for me, really the culmination of, you know, what really brought me into becoming an sensuality empowerment coach was actually a really dark period of my life throughout most of my 20s, where I was in what I would call a very toxic relationship. It was mutually toxic. I'm not blaming the other party whatsoever. It was very mutually toxic. It was a very difficult time of my life. And through that period, I lost that spark. I lost that light. You know, I kind of just didn't really see or feel or experience this sensation of being alive for a very, very, very long time. And it's only after I left the relationship and I started feeling vibrant again and noticing that, oh my God, life is really actually really colorful and beautiful. And I remember that this is what my true essence is. And this is the time through that healing. I mean, there was a lot of years of work as well, just coming through that relationship and like reconnecting to my essence. And from that point, continuing on that journey of healing and on expansion as well, of connection to myself.
Yeah.
But it's really is that time when I recognized that, oh my gosh, like this is the medicine that I've needed. And it's also the medicine that I want to convey into the world and to share, especially with women, but more so as I'm growing and expanding on this journey as well. Everyone is coming into my field and I love it so much.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Mm. So what was like the process from realizing that this is how you get your vibrancy back and how you feel alive? What was the step to actually going into becoming a coach?
It was a calling.
Yeah.
I knew that I wanted to be working with people. That's always been a part of my life as well. I've always worked with people. And it's always something I've said, like, I want to be around people. I want to hang out with people. I want to speak to people. I was thinking that maybe I will be a teacher someday. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't really know about coaching until I then booked a business coach to like kind of clear my mind and be like, what is it that I actually want to do? Because I knew I wanted to have my own business. I knew I wanted to work with people. I'd found this reconnection to the vibrancy of being alive through sensuality, sensuality, we'll talk about that as well, what the differentiation is of sensuality and sexuality. We'll talk about that soon, I think. But like really tapping into all of these pieces, and I work with my business coach and she helped me kind of put all of this down and be like, well, maybe this is something I could. She didn't tell me that I should be a coach, but she basically said, these are options or what you can look into. And where I started was conducting masterclasses, as in lectures, sharing this wisdom, sharing this medicine. And then from that point, I was like, actually, I want to be working one-on-one. I want a more intimate setting because I recognize how deeply transformative a one-on-one setting can be. Yes, group is fantastic. But when you get really intimate with someone, that's when you really can get super deep, super fast.
Yeah, I totally see that. I've been working a lot with, I have a circle myself called Sacred Circle with my two beautiful friends. And there's so much magic and so much wisdom and so much healing power when women actually come together. But I'm just like you. I feel like I love the male species as well. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And, but I mean, we all have the feminine and the masculine energies inside of us. So I feel like everybody can tap into this in some way or another. You don't have to have a yoni or a penis to be able to do that. But what is the actual difference between sensuality and sexuality, and how are these connected? Because I feel like sometimes it's a little bit, I feel like they are very connected, but also that they are pretty different.
Yes. Yeah, so the way I would say here is that sensuality is a deep dive into all of the sensations. So like your anything that you would touch, feel, smell, taste, see, all of these pieces are sensory experiences. And this is where sensuality comes in. So you're like involving yourself in all the sensory experiences, the pleasures of sensuality, of being alive. It's a full vibrancy of being alive. Mm. Whereas if you look at the terminology for sexuality, that is more like going into for sexual pleasure or sexual play or sexual needs, like getting your sexual needs met. However, let's say this, sensuality can be a part of sexuality, because in sexuality you don't always have, but you could have intimacy, sensuality, there could be boundaries, there could be connection. Yeah. Whereas within sensuality, sexuality doesn't always play a part. So mm-hmm. you can be very sensual and indulge in all of these experiences, but it doesn't have to lead to a sexual emission.
Yeah. Mm. Yep. But isn't it more fun if we involve sensuality into sexuality?
I think so, definitely. So if you can combine them, this is the thing. So sexuality, it could literally be like the act of sex. It could be the act of sex in itself. But if you bring sensuality into it, you bring all your senses in. Mm. If you bring intimacy in, you bring all the connection in. If you bring like an open heart, you can bring like a deeper connection as well. And that's what makes then the sexual experience so much more fun and vibrant and spiritual as well.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. So I mean, sensuality at the basis of it all is basically using your senses, touch, feel, scent, smell. That's the same thing. Now my throat chakra is coming alive. It always happens when I'm speaking in the podcast. Mm-hmm. So basically using our five or six senses, if we include spirit as well. And I mean, this is kind of like, I had a guest on quite a while ago and we spoke about Tantra. And within the Tantra learnings, there is a lot of like sensuality involved as well, I feel. And I feel that so many people forget about the sensuality in their sexuality, because when I have been harnessing more of that, more of, you know, foreplay and using our senses and, you know, just being very present with each other, it's a whole different experience. And also when I'm only with myself, I mean, I connect so much every single day now with my sensuality through dance, through music, through like movement. And I just feel like when I do that, I just come alive. It's like natural state of being almost. It's so amazing. I have to say that it hasn't always been like this for me, because I had a period when I was actually going through my spiritual awakening, and I was in a very, very dark place. And I had just experienced someone very close to me pass away. And it was, you know, my first encounter with death. And I was just like thrown into this like crisis of what is the meaning of life? And why is everything as it is right now? Because I felt that there was something so much more deeper that I needed to connect to and tap into. Because as you say, when we're younger and not as influenced by everything around us, we are more connected with everything, with nature, with animals, with ourselves, with our senses. But I had felt such a disconnect when I was going through that like traumatic period of my life, because I was experiencing anxiety and I just didn't want to be in my body, because that's where the anxiety was stored. And it was just not a nice place to be. So I felt very disconnected. But why do you think that so many people are disconnected from their sensuality and their bodies? Have you discovered anything through your mentorship?
I have. And this is not like the universal truth. There's so many different reasons, but pieces of it that I connect to, especially also, I mean, let's just speak from my personal experience and what I see within myself and within clients that I work with. Like, we are conditioned, or we have been conditioned for a very long time, to be separate to nature. Mm. We've been conditioned to very much connect into the logical side of things, and like how things need to be done and how we're building things and how we're creating abundance and like all of these different pieces, which are very masculine driven, energetic pieces that you bring into your life. And a lot of the time for men as well, this is universal. This is not just for me as a woman or anyone else, like it's for everybody. We are disconnected from nature, and we're disconnected from our bodies. So I do find that the disconnect from our bodies also creates a disconnect to the sensuality, because where does sensuality live? It lives within your body. It lives within the present moment. Also with the way that we've built the world in the last couple of centuries, it's very forward planning. It's very future oriented. And again, when we do that, we're away from our body. We're not in the present moment. We're in our bodies. And I think that really is a huge piece where we're kind of disconnecting from our sensuality. Mm-hmm. And yes, we have all these traditional things that we see time and time again that still live on in this world, the suppression, the repression, the shame, the judgment, and all of these pieces, they live on. And, you know, we do have these energetic wisdom memories that we remember from just time and space in our own lives and from lineage. And we do remember a lot of time in our body that it's not safe to be expressive. It's not safe to be in my body. Yeah. It's not safe to be sensual and sexual and creative and expressive, because that's been wrong for so long.
That is so true. I mean, just think about like how women have been suppressed through all times. I mean, I'm just thinking about like the first thing that popped into my head was like the witch trials in Salem or in Sweden, or there was a lot of this all over the world probably. And they were super connected to nature and how we could use herbs and how we could self-heal. And that was so wrong. And that is stored in our lineage, just as you said, our ancestral lineage. And I think that so many people carry this without actually knowing why they do it, and that they actually can heal from it, because we have that power. And that is something I have discovered a lot during these past 2 years since my like spiritual awakening, is that we have such an immense healing power, and we just need to find what kind of healing power we connect most to, basically. But I thought that was such a good and valid point that you just said, basically how it's stored and how we have been so conditioned. That was very very mind-opening. But if we think about like how trauma is stored, I mean, when we talk about sexuality more, we focus more about the sacral area, right?
Yeah.
So if we could go into the sacral area, like what is that? How do we define the sacral area?
So the sacral area is like, in a physical point, this is not scientifically proven, as in, it's more like an energetic spiritual space.
Yeah.
So it's like between your navel and the backside of your spine, so like towards your lower part of your spine, and it's within that space. So for a woman, you would say it could be the space around your womb space, your cervix, your vagina, like your inside of your vulva, potentially also even your actual external pussy, like the actual vulva itself, but like within that space and down towards the back of your lower back. So this is like the sacral area. And if you read into the different chakras, you can, depending on which teachings you look into, there's 7, there's 9, there's 11, there's like plenty more depending on which ones. But they all have like a defined center. So they're all in the middle of your body. So like going from the top of your head, like all the way down into your root, which is the lowest one, which is at the base, like by your perineum, basically. And the sacral one is the second one. So you count it from the bottom up, and the sacral one would be the second one. So within that space, this is where we hold this is again universal to all humans. We hold our sexuality, the sexual energy, the sexual flow, the sensuality is birthed from here, to creativity, connection to humans, emotion, intimacy, pleasure is also birthed from here. So that really would be the definition of it all. If you look at the color charts, it's orange in color, which means that anything, if you want to like bring out the sacral kind of energy more, you use orange pieces for different ways. And we'll talk more about that later, I think, too.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So what kind of how can we feel if our sacral area has like trauma or has blockages in it? Like, how does that express itself?
So it could come through as lower back pain, on a really physical level, like lower back pain. You could feel tension around your pelvic floor, around your hips. You could feel potentially during maybe intercourse or self-pleasure that maybe the inside of your vaginal walls are really dense and kind of clamped. Like that could come, this is all physical expressions. And then also you have the other ones where, you know, you could birth illnesses in these spaces. So like ovarian cysts, for example, or any kind of irregular menstrual bleeds or missed menstrual bleeds. It could be that you get really frustrated very quickly with people because the connection is blocked to other people. it could be that you generally don't feel sexual pleasure, turn on, excitement for that kind of realm. It could be that in general, pleasure is inaccessible to you, maybe turn on is inaccessible to you. Any type of sensory experience that would cause that beautiful vibrational life force energy to flow, mm-hmm. like that may not be available to you when you have like a blockage or a trauma that is hindering you to have that free flow within your space.
Yeah. I have experienced some of those things.
Yeah.
But I was listening into, I tuned into your Instagram live that you did a while back, where you were talking about how you had a pretty like intense experience with what's it called? Preconception? No, is that what it's called in English?
Conception.
Conception.
Birth control.
Birth control.
Birth control. Contraceptive is the word.
Contraceptive. That's the word I was looking for. because that is something that I would say the majority of like females, they do have birth control in some way. And it does, I mean, come on, like fuck up our systems quite a lot. I mean, could you, do you mind sharing like your experience with that? Because I mean, that I remember that you said you had a lot of tension in your sacral area and you had a tough time experiencing pleasure and things like that. So it'd be super interesting if you wanted to share that.
Of course, I'm so happy to share that. So my story, I'm going to go back more than 20 years, guys, now. I was 14 and you can do the math. I was 14 when they offered me birth control, as in like in the pill, so hormonal birth control for contraception. So I was only 14. I was just trying to become sexually active. I had a long-term boyfriend and I was on the birth control pill for a very long time. And I didn't even think twice about it. Like it was offered to me as birth control and that's what I took it for. And I was really happy at the time because I was so disconnected from my body and I didn't have the knowledge and the wisdom. Like as a 14-year-old girl during like 20 years ago, we didn't have this information available to us. Like the internet just was invented, guys, you know, like we just started using the internet at this time. And that is wild to think.
Yeah.
So I didn't have it and I didn't even look for information because I didn't question it. Like I just thought this is what we do and this is how it's done. And during that time, I remember during my teenage years, I think I got my period when I was like 12 or something. And I always like, oh, period, you know, like, oh, we're going to go on holiday. I don't want to be bleeding. You know, it's going to be a faff and you couldn't go in the water. And it's all these things that you shouldn't do and couldn't do. And it just felt like my bleed felt like such an inconvenience through all this time until only 4 years ago. So I'm going to get to that point. But so yeah, so as a teenager, what I would do as well, because I didn't want to have my bleed, is that I would overeat my hormonal birth control pill. So I would take them because you could take them and like skip a bleed. So you would just eat over when you were supposed to have your break and then you continue. And I did that sometimes for like 3 months, 4 months, 5 months without allowing my body to bleed or to shed the lining and whatever. And I kept doing that until I then moved to Abu Dhabi. This is also where we connected because we've lived in the same part of the world, which is exciting. And when I lived in Abu Dhabi, I moved there when I was 21 and I think it was like 21 or 22 or something that I heard about the Myrina, which is a Finnish brand. So it felt very safe and it is safe. And I'm not here to hate on birth control. I'm very grateful for birth control. That is not the issue here. It's just a case of me now having wisdom to maybe have, had I known what I know now, I probably would have made different choices. Maybe, not even, maybe I would have, maybe I wouldn't have, but I think I would have. Yeah. Anyway, so I was like 21, 22 and I inserted this hormonal birth control into my cervix. Which, and it looks like a matchstick almost, like the size of a matchstick. And every single day within the cervix, it will expel hormones to let the body believe that it either isn't fertile, that it can't get fertile, that it's pregnant. I don't even know which one at the moment, but it basically is that it just like shuts down your system. So it represses your hormones and you don't have that free flow of hormones that you would in your natural state, basically. And that one you can keep in for 4, 5, 6 years, depending on your body size. I had it in for 4.5. I removed it and I thought, maybe I can try something else. And I had this IUD in my arm instead for a while. And that completely screwed me up. Like I was bleeding for a week, like so for 1, 2, 3 weeks at a time and then 1 week off. And then I would bleed for 5 days and then I would have 5 days off and I'd bleed for another 3 weeks. Like it was just mental. Mm-hmm. And when I had that IUD in my arm, which is also a hormonal birth control, I had to regulate then my periods. They also prescribed me birth control pills to regulate my period. So I had double for a year and a half.
That's crazy.
Yes, I know, it is wild. Like, and I actually, this is the thing, this is what I can still feel it in my chest. Like I get really angry when I say this because I still hold on to the anger. I have released the trauma from my body, but I hold on, the anger still exists because I'm so frustrated. But I'm going to talk about the actual body because to answer your question about the sacral space. So after I then removed the IUD from my arm and I stopped the birth control pills, I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to put the Mirena back in, like into my cervix, another one, because that was the one that also basically stopped my periods. I had half a day of bleed every month as clockworks, and it just felt so convenient and it was great. But what I really noticed with this one, the first one also, but the second one even more, so I only had it in for a year and a half, I think. And it's like one day I just heard my cervix scream. I can still hear the voice of my cervix.
Oh, really?
That's screaming at me, like, please take it out of me. Like, it was like literally like this inside roar of frustration, of sadness, of grief, of anger, of just having been abused for such a long time. And this is literally how I felt. Like, I felt like my cervix felt abused. And it was like, take it out. And that same week I booked an appointment, I took it out, and it was, the removal was the most painful, horrible thing I've ever endured in my life. It's quick, but that pain, it literally felt like when she removed the IUD, the Mirena, it felt like she pulled out my ovaries and my womb. Like, it was that much of an agonizing pain, and I was in tears and I was panicking and it was horrible, but at the same time it was cathartic because I knew I did the right thing. Yeah. So it took me a while to kind of get over that, and it took me a while to also make sense of it, because I am also quite a logical person, even though many of my people in my near life, they don't believe, look at me as a logical person, but I can be very logical. And I was really trying to make sense out of this experience, because I'm like, how there was such a disconnect from my head to my body. So I was trying to understand this connection, and like, how can I hear this, how can I feel this? And it was just so, it just felt incredibly traumatic. And since then, this is now 4 years ago, and it's only 2 months ago that I had what I would say a physical release of the trauma.
Wow.
So throughout this time, it was, it started with me trying to make sense of it, trying to understand it, starting to read about like how to heal my body after hormonal birth control, how to get back into it, allowing myself to become attuned with my body again without any hormones playing part, and just being with myself and connecting into sensuality, connecting into my pleasure, connecting into my essence, connecting into the work that I'm doing now, and like really truly allowing myself to be aligned. And then I started doing like a love, sex and relationship coaching course, which I'm still a part of. And in that first 4 months of that course, we're doing like a huge personal radical transformation of self-acceptance and self-love and trauma release. And thanks to that work, I mean, it didn't even happen during that work, it happened after, because I continued in my own way. And yeah, it just felt like my whole cervix softened and dropped a little bit. And it felt like my whole vagina, my all of the walls of my vagina became supple. And it's like one of these things, you know, this is another thing, and we don't need to talk about this too much length, but you know, we have this narrative where we say in sexuality that we want tight pussies because that feels so good, you know, for a
penis.
We don't want a tight pussy. We want a supple, dexterous, controlling space that we can actually control with our muscles and our energy and the walls and the warmth. But we don't want it to be tight and clenched, because a lot of the time that's how we are, because there's so much emotion stored in this space. So this is the first time, like this is 2.5 months ago, guys, where I've heard this thing where we say the yoni is the portal to the universe, and I can make sense of it logically and I want to believe it, but I've never felt it until 2.5 months ago. And now I literally feel the connection to universe through my fucking pussy, and it's amazing.
That's amazing. Amen to that.
Amen to that. So it really feels like I've had like layers of sensual and sexual awakenings, and this was my most recent one, and I can only imagine what's to come. You know, I don't have no idea what's to come, but I can only imagine it's going to be bigger and better and more, because for the first time I truly feel as a vessel of the universe. I didn't feel that before.
Wow, that is so amazing. And that is so true. I've never actually thought about it the way that you said. We are conditioned to think that we want tight pussies. That's the porn industry for you. But it's so true that it is like a mirror of how we are in our bodies. Our, if we're tight down there, we're probably tight and tense everywhere else as well in the body. And we want to be relaxed. We want to be free flowing. We want to be, like the central.
We are beings of water. Allow that, you know. Our pussies literally generate liquid. Like, why wouldn't you want it to be flowy? Why wouldn't you want it to be like the ocean? Like, that's,
that's so
that
true.
Just feels like the most natural state. And I just, that's the first time I've said that, but that just feels like the most natural state.
Yeah.
There, we create liquid in this space.
Yeah. And we create life a little bit higher up.
Yes. We create life in this space. Yes.
That's amazing. Mm. But I mean, how can we, because I know that you use a yoni egg quite a lot, and I actually, because I put out on Instagram yesterday if there were any specific questions, and there were a lot of questions actually regarding the yoni egg.
Okay.
So let's talk about the yoni egg.
Let's talk about the yoni egg. I'm not an expert, and I will definitely direct you to a space where there is an expert, but I can share my experiences and the knowledge that I hold.
Yeah. What is a yoni egg?
Okay.
Right there.
I wish I had mine a little bit closer so I could just show. I do. Do you want to pull it up into the camera?
Yeah, show it. Show it.
One sec.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've got one, and I'm going to get a couple more, but I have this one, and I love this one. This has been super beautiful for me.
Yeah.
So this one is in a crystal, so it's a stone. It's a red carnelian, mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's quite small. You can see it's not very big. I don't have very big hands either, so it's quite a small egg. This is, I'm trying to remember if this is like the medium size or the small size. I think it's the medium size. You can get small, medium, or large a lot of the time, and there's differences to them, and we can talk about the sizing in a moment as well as to why. But a yoni egg, basically, I mean, it's a stone, so it has a bit of a weight to it. So you basically insert it into your vagina, never with force. It needs to be consensual, and it's not only that you consensually want to have a yoni egg in your mind, you also need your body to allow the yoni egg. Mm. So if we start with the basics, when you have the yoni egg and you're kind of wanting to insert it into your vulva, into your vagina, you would rest it on the opening of your vagina, on your vulva, and you'd maybe just hold it there for a while, maybe circle it around your lips, just allowing it to get acquainted. And you could just hold it there. And you know what's really cool is that after a moment, when the body genuinely is accepting of it and consensually wants it without you connecting your mind to that, you'll feel a lot of time like your pussy just like sucking it in. And then you know it's consensual, you know it's lovely. It doesn't always happen like that, but like never just like pack
put it in.
No, just to like allow it to be softened. And sometimes it's like you want it logically, but at the same time your body is like, no, not today. And then honor that. And then what you can do instead is hold it in your hand, or you can keep it in a pocket next to you in your body or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so yoni egg, it's slightly weighted. So when you insert it into your vagina, you don't really feel it that it's there. But it's there, and what happens is that the muscles around the vaginal walls, they're holding onto it. So they're working to hold it in to counter work the gravity, because otherwise it'll just fall out. So it's holding onto it. So it creates like the texture within the muscle, within the fibers, to like hold onto the space there. When you start, if you've never used the yoni egg before, the recommendation that I have been reading is that just keep it in for like 5 minutes. And then take it out. You can scoop it out. So the way you use the yoni egg when you insert it is that you put the fat bit up. And the reason, or the way you can see it, is sometimes you'll find, let me see if you can see those. There's like a hole in my yoni egg. Not all of them have them, but it's like a drilling hole. And in this hole, you can insert like a thread. A lot of it's almost like dental floss thread. You can get specific ones for the yoni eggs when you buy your yoni egg, if you have the drill. So for beginners, I would also say get the drilled one, because then you can put a string around it. So when you want to pull it out, you can just pull it out with the string. Otherwise, it is easy to just scoop it out with your fingers. That's fine too. But yeah, so you'd use it to bring attention into that space. So physical attention, yes, for the dexterity of the muscles, that's one thing, but also to bring energetic attention into that space, and also the spiritual connection to this area. So as I mentioned, this is a red carnelian one. This is a very powerful stone itself for sexuality and expression, and the sensual piece for feminine, for women especially, super potent. So I wanted to work with that especially because I felt, when you choose your yoni egg, go by your intuition and feel into which one you want. That's what I totally did. But what I would also say, if you don't feel like a complete pull to a specific one, potentially a glass one could be really beautiful, because that's non-porous. It's very safe health-wise, like physically very safe, a glass one. And it's also very neutral. But if you wanted also, you could get the original one, which is the original one is from the Chinese health. You know, it comes from China, the actual practice of yoni eggs. Yeah, it's a Chinese practice, like ancient, 2,000-3,000 years old.
Wow.
And they use jade, you know, that beautiful stone, jade.
Yeah.
Super clearing, healing, cleansing. And they used it for a very long time, mainly for, well, this is, again, it's like old reading, so you can probably read 10 different things of why the purpose of the yoni egg. But one of the reasons was to create to bring the muscles back after childbirth, so like to support the pelvic floor, because if you lose the dexterity in your muscle in your pelvic floor afterwards, you are prone to prolapse, or, you know, you don't have the strength as well. So that's one of the uses. But also is to connect to the sacral space. So I would definitely say, like, jade is very cleansing, very healing, especially if you've encountered any type of sexual trauma, any type of non-consensual experiences within sex, and a jade one can be very supportive. There's also other ones. One of the ones that I want to get is an obsidian one, which is like super potent for shadow clearing and shadow connection. So that's one that I really want to get. But at the moment, previously I've been feeling that I haven't, that's not where I want to go, because I needed to actually clear. Now when I'm open to the universe, I feel like I'm ready for it. So this is the next one I'm going to be getting. So just intuitively feeling to which one you want.
Yeah, because I work a lot with crystals. That's like, I love crystals so much. And I've told everybody, like, when I work with crystals, I also just work completely intuitively. I don't go online. I don't read, like, in books what they stand for, because I mean, you read a whole novel and it's like, well, basically a crystal for me has a one kind of ground energy, like a base energy, and then it's up to you how you connect with that. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's very difficult to read all of these, like, different texts on how they can help you and how they can assist you, because it's so important to feel intuitively and make a connection to the crystal yourself, I feel, because crystals connect with you on different levels and in different areas of your body, depending on how you are energetically and why and where this crystal comes from. So I feel like it's so good that you actually choose the yoni egg very intuitively as well. Mm-hmm. And as you said, carnelian is super good for sexuality, sensuality, creativity. And it's, I mean, you could use rose quartz. I guess they have yoni eggs and rose quartz as well, mm-hmm. for self-love. So yeah, just feel into, like, talking a little bit more about crystals, because that was actually one other question. How can we use crystals to harness and come in contact with our sensuality? Mm-hmm. But I mean, if we focus on the yoni egg, it's such a, that's a really good way that you actually hold it in that sacral area, you hold it in that sacral space and work with it through that way instead, because usually you just, you know, hold a crystal and you can put it on your body, but very, very seldom we put it inside our body in a safe way.
I mean, as women, we're very lucky as women, because we have this space, you know, we have this physical container where we can actually hold on to something, and it's so beautiful, and it may feel foreign. I remember the first time I actually, since I heard about yoni, I was like, I need one. I know that's for me. Like, I know why this is for me. And it may not be the same for everyone, and you may never have that desire or need or you know, just even want to try it. So that's okay. But if you have the curiosity, I definitely recommend to try it out. And the yoni egg is very non-invasive because it is so small, and that's what I want to say about the sizing, actually, because there are different sizes. So if you were to believe that you have a particularly tight or small vagina, like, you know, small in the sense of, you know, I don't even know to say, because they're very supple, like they expand, you know, that we take a lot, like we can birth babies through this canal, so it's not small in that sense. But if you feel like you would be more comfortable with a smaller one, you would take a smaller one. But a lot of the time they recommend the medium size for everybody. And if you've just had childbirth, then potentially the larger one would be more suitable, potentially. So you can just feel into that. Mm-hmm. Another piece here, what I wanted to say as well, there's also crystal wands, like basically dildos, that you could use. And they're also really powerful to use in this way. But they're a lot of time a lot larger, of course, than the yoni egg. So that can feel a little bit more invasive if you don't feel like that's what you want. So, but they're also really beautiful tools to use.
Yeah, that was actually my next question. Are there crystal dildos?
And they're beautiful.
I can imagine. I mean, often dildos are pretty gross, like, it's weird. No, I mean, like, not the, just, I mean, like, the material, like the plastic silicone. I would rather put up a crystal dildo instead of a silicone dildo, actually. But that's amazing.
They're stunning and they're beautiful too, you know. I mean, crystals are beautiful, and then they're polished in this beautiful, I mean, there's different shapes of them too, but a lot of the time the crystal ones, they're kind of elongated, a little bit thicker in one than a lot of the time, and there are different ones. And then also glass dildos to hit different things. And this is something that we were talking about before, I can add as well, like, I've been using a glass cervical and G-spot wand to support myself in yoni clearing, so like really releasing these pressure points within my vagina. And that's also really helped me to have this awakening that I talked about 2.5 months ago, because I really done a lot of work on physically also clearing this.
So basically you've had a yoni awakening.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's amazing. It feels so good. And since then I've just really lived so much more within my true essence as well. Like I've talked for the last two and a half years or so with my business, I've been talking about like the turn on, the pleasure, the presence. And I really felt that, I truly believed in it, but now it's like I feel it so much more. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's delicious. Yeah.
I love that word, delicious.
Mm-hmm. So yummy.
So how do you like personally tap into your feminine energy?
Music is one big one for me. I love music. Like music, I have some really cool playlists that I curate as well for my membership and that I use myself. And just anytime I need to tap into my feminine essence and I feel like I'm a little bit out of tune, music drops me back in. Because music to me as well, it really moves my body. So it actually starts me getting to move my body, which is a very feminine expression, like the movement and touch as well, like allowing yourself to touch. I'm very touchy and I really invite all the women to just like touch yourself. It doesn't have to be what I'm doing right now on my boobs, that's natural to me now, but like really just like allowing your hands to stroke your skin and to notice the sensation, like that's a huge one. So music, touch, movement. Another big one for me specifically is connecting to water. So having a bath. I don't have a bathtub in my home, so that's not great, but we do have lakes around. So when it's really warm and, you know, late at night, I can just go there and lay in the lake as if it was my big natural bath. Mm-hmm. Or longer showers, or even just water features, or if it's winter and there's like a bubbling brook or something, just like really allowing yourself to feel that and to sit in that space, because water is very feminine too.
Yeah, it's very feminine. Mm-hmm. It's flowy. Yeah. Definitely. So we're kind of alike there, because that's my go-to. I put on music and I start moving, and it's just amazing. Like usually I close my eyes as well, just to be even more present in my body. And not, sometimes I love looking at myself and doing some mirror work and dancing for myself. That is very empowering. And that is one way that I actually get turned on myself. And that's nothing to be ashamed of. If you actually look at yourself and you're like, God, I'm so beautiful, or I'm so sexy, and you get turned on by yourself, that is amazing. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I just close my eyes and just, you know, feel into the movement more. And that is one way for me to become more present. So you could actually work with dance in many different ways, I feel. And something that I have mentioned quite a lot of times is I'm still waiting to go to my first ecstatic dance. That is like the one thing I am craving so much. Mm-hmm. But yeah, dance, definitely. Water. What star sign are you, by the way?
I'm Virgo.
You're a Virgo?
Yeah.
I'm a Virgo rising. Mm-hmm. So I'm a Pisces. So we are like opposite. Okay. But opposites attract. That's amazing. Yeah. Okay. So just to circle back a little bit, because something that popped into my head now, when you talked about you being in a very like destructive relationship, that is something that I know a lot of I've been in a very destructive relationship myself, and it was very detrimental to my self-worth and me being able to create safety within myself, because I put that safety in that person instead. And it's so important to create, if we talk a little bit more about the masculine energy is all about creating safety, like a safe container within yourself, so that you can flow freely with the feminine energy. But something that I did a lot before was that I put that responsibility in somebody else. Mm-hmm. And when that person hurt me, or if that person went away, or if we broke up, my safety net went away with that person, and I felt completely lost. And I know that so many people are scared to leave their relationships because they feel that it's their safety net, and they don't know how to create that safety within them and heal that within them. So if you don't mind like sharing a little bit more, like how did you come to realize or take that step to actually leave that relationship, and how was that healing process for you? You do it if you want to share. It's probably,
of course, open book. I'll share anything. It was a very long process, and looking back I was like, how did we do this for so long? And this is the thing, we both kept choosing to be a part of it, so this is why I'm not here to impart any blame. But we broke up initially. He actually broke up with me first. And then we kind of reluctantly got back together, because it's what you say, like the safety, the what you know, like the what you're aware of. And, you know, you think that that's, you know, because you've had this vision as well a lot of the time when you fall in love and you're with a partner, you have this vision of forever.
Yeah.
I mean, I at least I have, like, every time I'm with someone, I see the future. I feel like, you know, I'm painting up this picture of this is what it's going to be like. And I have the safety of the future. I know it's going to look like to some extent. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly things crumble and you're like, well, now it's a blank slate. And now to me, that's exciting. Like, that would be exciting. But at the time, like, not being attuned and not having my own safety, exactly like you say, mm-hmm. it's so easy to fall back into it, to be like, okay, well, I want to grasp on and hang on to what I know, you know?
Yeah.
So our process was that he broke up with me. We got back together quite reluctantly. We had a long distance relationship for a while. I think we broke up maybe twice during that long relationship, but a long distance relationship, I don't even know. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. And then we were together. And then like, there was this huge pivotal point when I was just like, that's enough. Mm-hmm. But what happened basically is that when he initially broke up with me, this is 2 years. All of this happened over 2 years, and we had been together for 5 years before this. So 2 years of a breakup, basically, I was taking myself on a journey through. When he broke up with me the first time, parts of me knew that that was the end result. Like, we're not going to stay together, but we still stayed together. We did all these choices, but I started processing, maybe being on my own and like healing and all of that through that. So I kind of, it was probably unfair, but it wasn't conscious. I didn't do this consciously, but we stayed within that relationship, and maybe he did it too. I don't know. But I just really found my voice again. And for me, that healing journey really came to asserting my boundaries and speaking out when I felt like he was treating me badly, or when I think that he was being unfair, or when I recognized something wasn't working. And for me, that really came from clearing my throat. So, and this is something that, yes, I did, but I've had to continuously do it, because I've been so extremely blocked in my expression of my boundaries and my desires from my throat chakra.
Yeah.
So I really had to work a lot on that. And I think that for me, it was probably my biggest healing part. And then just asserting my self-worth, like really understanding that, you know, even if he would say, you're never going to find someone like me, you know, that typical thing that you would hear within relationships and breakups. It's like really knowing, like, well, isn't that the point?
Yeah,
I don't want to find someone like you. I want to find someone that actually truly sees me and who holds me in honor and worship and devotion, and who allows me to be the woman I am. Because in this partnership, I wasn't allowed to be who I wanted to be. Like, none of the things I wanted to do were okay. Like, everything I desired was shut down.
Yeah.
There was really nothing that I felt excited about that was okay. And that is extremely painful. And especially during that time when I was still rather immature and fairly young, like I thought that's just how it is. You have to bend completely to fit into this relationship. And thank God now I know different.
Yeah. Oh, that is, I can really, really relate to a lot of that. Because there's this codependency that forms, like a toxic codependency.
Yeah.
And I think that actually comes a lot from, of course, conditioning, but also maybe how our parents' relationships have looked like, but also not being connected with our bodies, not being connected with ourselves, because then we don't know what our needs are and we don't know how to express our needs.
Mm-hmm.
So that was very interesting to me that you said that you worked a lot with your throat chakra, because that is where you actually express how you feel, what you need. And that's where, like, the meeting, the communication that is so fundamental for a relationship is held. So that was really eye-opening. How did you work with your throat chakra? Because I know that a lot of people have blockages there.
Well, at the time, during that period of my life, I didn't even know what the throat chakra was.
No.
So I was doing it intuitively. I had no idea.
Yeah.
But it really came from that decision. Okay, well, I'm going to speak my truth, and then you get to choose. And this is something I'm still working with now, but it's coming in different forms. But it's like, I'm going to assert my truth and my boundaries, and then you get to choose to be a part of it or not.
Exactly.
But then it's your choice.
Yes.
But it was really like, it was, you know, because throughout all of these years within this partnership, especially, I'd never said, hey, I don't appreciate that. Or the time. Okay, that's not fair. In the beginning, I would try to express myself. I would try to say, but it was met a lot of the time. I don't want to say always, because I really don't like the words always and never, because that really takes away all of the beautiful times that you may have had and the breakthroughs you could have had. But a lot of the time, my expression for my boundaries, my needs, my desires were met with a dismissal. Like, you're being crazy. That's not true. That's not right. No, no, no. Just because the other party wouldn't agree. So quite quickly, I learned that it's not safe for me to express. You know, it's not, I can't, if I do this, then we're going to have an argument and it's going to turn out to be that I'm crazy, basically.
Yeah.
So, you know, you become shy and you become coy and you just realize that this is not the way I can be in this partnership. And then this really, for me, intuitively, the way I was working with my throat was really just being blinded by saying, no, this is how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm thinking. These are my desires. These are my boundaries. And it's only recently, and especially in these last couple of years, that I've actually worked with the chakra in itself. So I love my different chakra crystals. I've been intuitively picking up lots of blue different stones and crystals. Mm-hmm. And my friends have been giving me blue crystal necklaces, and they're all for this purpose. But for me, with the crystals, they've been working as like touch points and memory points of like, oh, okay, if I can see my blue crystal here, it's like, speak your truth. Yes, yeah. I'm going to speak my truth. It's a reminder.
Yeah.
So that's more recently what it's been. And just also really feeling the confidence in that I matter, like my feelings matter and my experience is validated. And if not by anyone else, I don't need anyone else to validate my experience. But if I can validate my experience myself, then that's enough. And it's the same thing. If I share my expressions or my desires or boundaries, whatever it could be, and they meet me in a way that I don't agree with or like, then it's my choice to step away.
Exactly. Yes. That is something I've recently just come to terms with as well, is that we make so many choices and we are so used to, or I was used to, I'm not going to speak for everybody, but for me, it was like I put the guilt on their part instead of actually owning that I made that choice that put me in that situation.
Yep.
And instead, actually, verbally saying out loud, just like you said, this is what I need, this is what I want, can you meet me in that? Can you not, then maybe we shouldn't be together, or how can we make a compromise so that both our needs are met? It's so important to be able to work on actually having that confidence, to building the confidence within yourself to actually be able to say that. And I know that a lot of people struggle with this today, and that's probably why a lot of people unfortunately are stuck in their relationships that maybe they don't want to be in. So how if we go into like more practical, like what are some powerful yet like very simple practices we can do to connect more to our confidence, our self-worth, our sensuality? I see it all like a package deal, basically.
It totally
because everything is connected, you know. So
absolutely, like,
And to gain more, you know, because at the end of the day, it's creating more presence in our life, presence and pleasure. So how can we, what are some simple practices we can do every day to connect more to that?
Well, something you mentioned already, which I love, is that you're talking about mirror work.
So yeah.
If someone here listening is new to the concept of mirror work, what that essentially is that you'll stand by a mirror. If it's a full length mirror, that's amazing. If it's a tiny little mirror, you could just see your eyes, that's amazing too. Like whatever you want. It could be a smaller handheld mirror and you talk to your pussy, that can also be mirror work. So you get to basically connect to your own reflection so you can see yourself in the way that the world gets to see you too. But you have the benefit of not just getting to see you as the world sees you, you also have the benefit of feeling you as you feel within. So it's like this double experience of like internal and external. Yeah. So mirror work is really powerful in the sense of, yes, just witnessing yourself. A lot of us, I'm going to say humans, I wouldn't say women, but I think a lot of us as humankind, again, we don't know what we look like. We don't have the full extent of a view as another person would. So this is why mirror work also comes in really handy, because we get to become acquainted with this temple, as I like to call it, the temple that we're living in. And we get to see all the nooks and crannies, and we get to appreciate the folds of the skin. We get to notice any freckles, any pimples, any scars, anything. And we get to feel that deeper connection, because our senses, our sight is incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
So we get to connect to that. But then also with mirror work, what you can do is you can bring that to another level. So yes, it could just be that you're witnessing yourself, like witnessing your beauty, witnessing your scars, witnessing your grace, witnessing whatever it is that you're witnessing. But then also you can start speaking kindness to yourself or gratitude. So connecting then your throat by speaking your kindness, expressing your gratitude to your body, to your temple, to yourself as a being. That's extremely powerful. That's something I would definitely say that is very supportive to your confidence, to you also being present, because then in that moment, it's only you and your mirror. That's all. That's all. And then anything really that connects you to the present moment, I feel really enhances the sensuality and the pleasure. Like, you know, as I said, when I was a child, and still to this day, to be fair, it's not when I was a child only, but that's when I noticed I started. But noticing what's around you, noticing the sensations, the different scents, the different smells sometimes, the different textures, like just paying attention to the different colors of green that surround you in nature. I mean, here in Scandinavia, we have so many different colors of green. It's incredible. Like just noticing that and just being like, this is here for me, you know, like how can you not marvel at that? Like, how can you not be amazed? And how can you not feel excited by that being here available to you?
Yeah.
So these are some pieces. And, you know, we're talking about music, we're talking about movement, like all of these different pieces.
Yeah. Because we take everything for granted.
Yeah.
Like nature is this amazing organism that we are a part of, we are an extension of. And I feel a lot as well to just build a little bit more on what you're saying, to connect with our inner child, come back to our inner child. What did we do when we were younger? We experienced and were a part of the world, very much connected through our senses. We played, we felt, we touched. I mean, a baby starts experiencing the world through putting things in its mouth, like everything, like, oh, let me try, how does this feel? Like, be more like, really embrace your inner child. And we can talk about that maybe in another episode, because I feel that there's so much to touch base on with the inner child and how to work with that. But just basically go back to being playful and being in touch with your senses. And that's why sensuality is so important, I think, now in coming back to connection with yourself and your body as well. So that's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. But Carlotta, just to how do you say it in English? Avsluta, the avrunda. How to
wrap up?
Yeah, that's right. Just to wrap up the episode a little bit, please share about the work that you do and where my followers can find you if they would like to work with you.
Thank you, Stella. So I work as a coach then. So I work one-on-one with people. It started off with me working only with women, but now it's open to everybody, which is beautiful. So I work one-on-one, and then I also have my membership, which is called Superwomen Alchemist, which is for the turned on superwoman. That is only for anyone identifying as a woman for the time being. Maybe we'll expand, but at the moment it is for people identifying as women. And within that space, we meet monthly. So we have women's circles, we have movement classes, we have rituals and ceremonies, and there is a whole library of affirmations and meditations and visualizations and guests that come in and share their medicine within this community as well. So it's a really, really beautiful community where you just get to be a part of it as much as you want, and you get to take the medicine if you want in your own time, or you get to be a part of it live too. So that really is the two main ones. And then I do offer offer group coaching as well in different settings. So it could be different workshops or master classes, either virtually or in person. I offer retreats as well. So we've got a retreat coming up in October, November. That's in Mallorca.
Ooh.
More on that to come. More details coming out next week. But we did already, it's with me and two other coaches, we did already this retreat, a different version of it in June. And now we're doing the 2.0 version, which is a sensual version, which is going to be beautiful. So that's coming up in November. So if that's something that you're interested in, definitely drop me a message through and you'll get the first look. But yeah, these are the main points. And then my Instagram is always open. So pop in, it's at Charlotta Barman. Just come in and say hi. Let me know that you've heard me and with Stella here, and we'll have a conversation. Ask me your questions. Like anything that comes through to me, I will answer you in person. Like I will share my wisdom with you as much as possible in person. And then depending on if it's appropriate, then we can discuss about working together, or I will create some pieces of material that will support you specifically. So I find a lot of creativity also from my experiences, but also from the questions that I receive, because then it's like, you know, there is always something that we can connect to ourselves with anything that comes through, I find. So just allowing myself to infuse my medicine into any question is really beautiful. So it's a lot of inspiration to speak to everyone. So
that's amazing. Wow. Yeah, definitely go and check Carlotta out on her Instagram. It's full of so much beautiful energy. You seriously radiate this goddess energy. It's so beautiful. And I just felt like I need to be a part of this in some way. So thank you so much for being a part of the podcast today. It was such a pleasure to talk to you. And I hope that we can do more episodes together. That would be amazing.
I would love that, Stella. Thank you so much. And thank you for opening this space for me too. I mirror what you're seeing in me too, your goddess also. So it's an absolute honor and pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. And for all of you guys listening, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope that you were okay with us speaking in English for once. And let us know if you want me to do more English speaking episodes. That would be fun. As you know, you can find the podcast on YouTube and on Spotify, Podcaster, wherever podcasts usually are. And yeah, I thank you so much for listening once again. And I will see you next week. Lots of love. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.